decided. I am decided. We make the choices or decisions ahead of time based on the things that are coming at us. And when we have these decisions made, it makes it so much easier that when that problem, that issue, that sin thing comes at us, we understand where the line is and we back up away from the line. Last week we talked about the power of consistency, about the power of being able to do the same thing over and over again and to get incredible results. We used the man Daniel last week. We said how important it was for his life to go and pray three times a day. And when he was told not to, he did it anyway because it was part of who he was. He was devoted. He was committed to that. And so today we're going to talk about another issue that I think is prevalent for the church. I think it's relevant for the church. If I had to say of any of the lessons that I'm going to do in this series, this is the one that most of you are going to go, Jeff, you know, thanks. I know. But I want you to listen anyway, and I want you to see what God will do in your life because I've talked about this, I've talked about this, and we all still struggle with this. And today, we're going to talk about, I am decided that I'm going to be devoted. I want to be devoted. That's an old-fashioned word. When I grew up, it was everywhere. If you went to church camp, you did your devotions. If you went to church, you were devoted. If you were a good athlete, you were devoted. Today, we call the word commitment. We call it commitment. Most of us don't like it. We don't like the word commitment. But today, we're going to talk about what does it mean to be devoted? So Matthew is where we're going to start out, and it's kind of the starting point for our whole lesson today. So Matthew 6:33, a very well-known verse you know. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. How many times have you heard that? A lot. Seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you as well. When we seek God, it's a form of devotion. It's a form of devotion. It is an action. It is a verb. It is something that and on our part, we have to go looking. We have to be in process of seeking God, of going towards him. And I will ask this question to you. If you seek first the one who matters most, then really your life is probably going pretty good direction. If for the most part you're seeking the one who matters most, your life is going in the direction you want it to go because you're making the choices that are led by the Holy Spirit, that are led by God, that tell you how to live your life and where to go and when to step and how to do it. If you are not, you're here today a little confused. You're here today a little baffled. You're here today with doubts and fears and all these things that so many of us have. And so I want to use Matthew 6:33 to kick us off and to look at this and to see what it means to be devoted. And so we go to the ultimate devoted verse is Acts 2:42. And Acts 2:42 is the whole context of this verse that we're going to read here in just a minute, is that Jesus has given his life on the cross. Jesus has gone up to the cross, went to the hill, died, been put in the ground, raised from the dead. And here he is, he's back with his Father, and his followers are sitting around going, what do we do now, George? What do we do now, Pete? What do we do? They're all looking at each other. And what does he want us to do? Because he gave them the Great Commission, you know, go and baptize. Go, okay, what does that look like? How does that look like? How would I be devoted in this culture that hates Christians? Because it hated Christians. They put Jesus to death because he said he was God's son. They're starting to look at us Christians too as you're kind of wacky. You think what about marriage? You think what about birth? You think what about a gender? What do you think? Okay. We live in a culture that doesn't care much for believers today. And so in this culture, in this time when Acts 2 was written, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, like a wind, came and blew through the gathering, came into the gathering and did what only the Holy Spirit could do. Everybody there understood what was being said, and they all were from different nations and principalities, and they come, and it's an incredible thing. They're going, how do you understand this? I don't know. How can we all, and they're all, it'd be like going to the United Nations, and there's no detector going, here's what they're saying. It's just everybody gets it. And so now the followers are gathering together, and they're going, that happened. That was weird. What do we do now? Acts 2:42, here it comes. They devoted, there's that word, that old-fashioned word we could use today, committed. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then it throws in this little kicker verse. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Leave that up there. The Bible says they were devoted to four things. Four things. Teaching, fellowship, prayer, and fellowship. That's a church service, folks. That's a church service. Let me say it again. That's a church service. That's what that is. They were devoted to those things. What are they devoted to? Those four things. Get that in your head. And here's the crazy part. Here's the crazy part that the church, Wade was kind of referring to this a little bit ago, how the emotion has kind of gone out of our sails. We don't want to get too emotional, because if we get emotional, somebody will think we're a holy roller, or somebody think we're crazy, or somebody will, why are you praising? There's all kinds of questions that come around. But notice the second part, the kicker verse. Everyone around them was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. You see, they were devoted to the things that made them close to God. They were devoted to what brought them closer to Jesus. They were seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And who took care of the everything else? Well, I went and got a second job, and I got a third job. And I got this, and I did that, and I took out money at my 401k, and I went to the gambling boat, and I put $1,000 on red, you know, whatever. And I'm hoping that that'll do it. No. No. They devoted themselves to God, and God took care of the details. He took care of the details. That is the hardest part for us to hear and to get a hold of. That God takes care of details. Because it doesn't feel like he does always. It doesn't feel like he always takes care of the details. So Acts gives us this primer for what it means to be devoted to God. Now, I want you to pause for a second, and I want to kind of not be funny, because there's nothing funny about it. But if you took Acts 2:42 and put it in our today's lingo, I think it would say something like this. It may be a cultural Christian, because there's a lot of cultural Christians today that have some of Jesus and some of the cultures and some of the casualness of you know, Jesus is just my homeboy. Jesus is a good guy, and he's going to take care of me, and I know he loves me, and I love him, but I don't have to do everything he wants me to do, you know. Now, what if this was written back then? Acts 2:42 in the modern Christian version, the MCV, would say something like this. They devoted themselves to themselves. They continually and passionately pursued a self-centered life of comfort and ease. They just want to be liked. They just want to be comfortable. They just want to be, you know, people to say, oh, look what they put on social media. It's normal stuff, like, I just want to finish school and college, and I want to get a good job, and I want to marry a hottie, and I want to get all those good things going, and then I want to travel the world, and I want to have good vacations, and I want to die, and then I want to go to be with Jesus. See, that's Acts 2:42, MCV version. And some of you are saying, well, Jeff, that's not me. Okay, I hope not. I hope not. But I think there's some of that woven into some of our culture here. Some of you have that woven into who you are, that somehow you've gotten this notion that you just got to be happy. You, regardless of what, you got to be happy. And if you're not happy, it's not good. And that's a bunch of bunk. That's a bunch of bunk. Everyone here has 168 hours. And I want to give you a little illustration that maybe helps get this. I brought back my famous little whiteboard that I did in a previous lesson a couple months ago. Chris Matthews did this in I think it was the 16 election. He had a little whiteboard and he'd come out and say, this is what they needs to happen. Well, this is my whiteboard. And I want to try to take a stab today to show you what I'm talking about when I say 168 hours. So here we go. Stay with me for a second. If I take and I draw a straight line around, you know, it's not straight, but you know me. And I put an arrow here and I put it right here. And then I took the time to do a bunch of these. I'm going to not do too much because I don't want to lose you guys. Some of you are going to go to sleep on me or start working on your phone or something else. But let's put up here 1, 6, 8. Okay. Every one of us here, whether you're retired, whether you're a kid, whether you're a gamer, whether you're a college person, whether you're a workaholic, you've got 168 hours every week. God gave those to you. Goes back to the gift, you know. God gave you 168. Now, if I was to get specific here, general statistics tell us that most of us sleep anywhere from 50 to 56. And I know there's some of you, I sleep 12 hours a week. I get it. I get there's those of you out there, I never sleep. I work all the time. Okay, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to average Joe. And some of you might sleep a little bit more, 7 to 8 hours. So 50 to 56 weeks. So that takes out a good portion of the 168, right? Can you all see this? No, you can't, can you? Dan, can you see this? Okay, no? You can't see it? Okay, they can't? Okay, well, I'll move this. I want Dan to see. If Dan doesn't see, I'm in trouble. So I got 56. Then I've got work. So there's another 50 to 56 hours. And I understand some of you work 100 hours. The workaholics, you work 100 hours, you never sleep. I get it. But so there's 112 hours. Just take my figures. 112 hours, which leaves, guess what? Another 56 hours over here. So we got 50 to 56. So there goes your week. Now, the 56 that we have, the 56 that all of you have, it gets taken up by so many things. Let's take it right off the top because we're not a young church, but we're a lot of us are on social media. The average social media person, they say, spends 17 hours on social media, 17 hours a week. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what the average says. Let's go back down to 10. So there's 10. So you got 10 hours of social media. Then you've got a lot of you who watch Netflix, you binge watch or whatever you watch. Let's say you watch another 12 hours of TV, Fox News, whatever it is you watch, CNN, whatever you watch. So there's another 12 hours. So there's 32 hours. And then you've got all the things with you. If you got kids, you take your kids places. You do this. You get your car. You do your home. You take care of your home. You take and you get all those things out. And you get down to the end of the week, and you got usually about 1 hour left. 1 hour left. And we church people call that church. So I can give an hour. I can give an hour and a half even. You know, if Jeff's windy, I'll give an hour and a half. And some of you don't even do that. I get it. You get here at 10:30, and you get your 30 minutes in. I get it. So what happens is I ask you, we all got 168. And Matthew 6:33 says, seek. My thing is running out. first. Seek first the kingdom of God. I just want you to think about that for a minute. Does that look like seeking first? I know some of you spend 6 hours, 3 hours. You spend 2 hours, maybe 30 minutes a week doing some kind of Bible plan, something. You read the Bible, you pray for 2.1 minute every day, okay? So throw that in there, okay. Does that look like seeking first? Does that look like seeking first? I ask you to struggle with that. I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to tell you. I'm just here to point out an illustration. That hour, if you think that hour is going to do you any good, if you think you can come in here and somehow, I understand that worship things happen and we come in and we trade our sorrows, as Wade and the band ask us to do today, and we do that and it feels good, but then we go right back out and we wonder, where's God? Where's God? And if you're only given a couple hours, is that devotion? Is that devotion if you're only just getting the leftovers and not seeking first? Not seeking first. It's hard to argue with that, isn't it? Honestly, if you invest 1 hour a week in anything, you're probably not feeling very devoted to it. It's no wonder we find ourselves lukewarm. It's no wonder that there's not more joy in life when we come to church and somebody says, I'm trading my sorrows. And you're going, nah, I didn't trade mine. I still got them. I'm carrying it around in my backpack. I'm carrying my sorrows. They're right on my back. What the heck? So that's kind of partially devoted to God. You know, I don't cuss in church. I'll do that. I won't cuss anywhere we get close on the property. We get out of there, you know, outside. It's okay. Call that person an MF-er. Look at MF-er. What is he? Yeah, he's an MF-er. I believe some of us are given the leftovers, and we ask ourselves, why am I not excited about God? It's because we're not devoted. We're not seeking first. You got to decide ahead of time. I want to pursue God. God is pursuing you. I came to tell you that today. God is looking for you to do what? To come looking for Him. To find Him for the fulfillment that you need. Your boyfriend, your spouse, your pill, your drink will not fulfill what you're looking for. It will not give you happiness. It will be momentarily, but it will not last. It goes away. Even my backpack's going to break, and I'm going to be really sad. Things that we count on, they go away. You got to decide ahead of time. I want to pursue Jesus. I want to pursue Jesus. So let's put the lid on this and we'll close it up. So how do I do that? One more scripture. John 15:5 says this. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Boy, that is such a visual thing. So here's the key. When you're the branch and you're connected to Jesus, the vine, what happens? What happens? You bear spiritual fruit time and time again. The Bible says it talks about this love, this peace, this patience. That Patty can stand up here and say today, my life has been hell. That's what she was saying. But I'm still okay. I'm still okay. I'm still all right. It has to start with what lasts. It has to start with what lasts. If you read that verse and you go on down John 15:5 and then you go to verse 6, it says this. It talks about this word remain. 11 times it's used in that version. 11 times. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Brings on the branch talk. I just cut this right before service and it's wilting like crazy. Just cut it. This is the vine or the branch. You, me. I just cut it. It was so pretty. There's leaves falling everywhere over here. They're already falling off 20, 30 minutes after they got away from the vine. That was right by my office. You want to come help me cut some more? I want to see out the window. Come see me today. We'll get that out. This is such an incredible illustration. You are here today, and some of you are withering. Your life is a wreck. And it's a wreck because you're not connected to the vine. You're the branch. And your job is to be connected to the vine. And if you're not connected to the vine, you're not getting the nutrients. You're not getting what you need. It is not old-fashioned, do a 5-minute Bible study every day and it's all good. It has to be this devotion that says, I've got to seek Jesus. If I don't, I'm going to die. I won't handle my day. We're already saying that. You're already saying I can't handle how things are. So your assignment is to be the branch. Be the one who needs, who seeks, who stays intentionally connected to the vine. You be the branch that is connected. Man, you're getting ready to go to college, and there, that environment, it's going to eat you up if you're not careful. It's going to eat you up. Anybody that goes into the college environment today, they are there to tell you, to shape you. You better know what you think. You better be connected to the vine. Because if you're not, it's all going to just go away. And little by little by little, you're just going to have nothing, nothing. And you're going to go, what? Did I even believe what I believed? And I'm not just talking to people who are in college. I'm talking to some of you retirees. I'm talking to some of you that are busier than all get out. You want some rest for your mind? You get connected to the one who knows your mind, who put your mind together, who knows everything about your mind and can take and can give you true rest. So your mind can shut down, so it can shut off. I can't sleep. I got 56 hours. Who gets 56 hours? How many of you go to bed and you have to get back up because you can't go back to sleep? I want you to think about this today. If Jesus is the one that matters most, what are you doing with him? If he's the one that really matters the most on this earth, what are you doing with your life on this earth? I want to devote my life to Jesus. I don't know what that looks like for you. I can't flesh it out. I can only flesh it out for myself. Listen to me really good here. About done. You will never, ever, 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 ever accidentally live a fully devoted life to Jesus. It won't just, here I am fully devoted. I am on fire. No, you will not be on fire because you got little pieces of you all over the place that have fallen off. Pieces that God intended for you to do. And he intended for you to have every one of those leaves. They were there for a purpose. He put them there for a purpose. But if they wilt and it goes away, I don't want to serve Jesus. I don't want to serve a church. I don't want to help. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to study. They go away. They go away. Let me tell you this. The minute you start to predetermined to seek first the kingdom, you will begin to notice you're doing and saying weird things. Things that you never thought you would ever say in a million years. Not because of you, but because of who he is and what he does and the difference he makes in your life. And so here's what I want to send you home with. Three easy things to remember. If you're here today, remember these. Number one, the vine is not there for you at the last minute. It is not there for just like what Wade was saying, when you just need him when you're at your worst. He's there for you when you're at your best. He's there all the time. You need every bit of Jesus. You need every bit. And so today, you need three things. You need to know that you need a place to meet him. You need a plan to meet him. A plan to, when you get there, they're going to do it. You need all those things. Did I put that down somewhere? Yeah. I'm decided on a time, on a place, and I'm decided on a plan. And you got to start someplace. And so a time may be in your car. If you're a mom and you got kids, it may be in the bathroom while they're sitting there putting their fingers under the door. I don't know what it is, but you've been there, some of you. You understand. But you got to have a time, and you got to have a place, a chair, your car. I don't know, but you need a place, and then you need to plan. And there's apps galore. And you don't do an app for just to do an app to complete it. The problem with YouVersion, I love YouVersion, but it kind of shames you. You know, you got a streak going. Okay, what about I don't got a streak? I missed it. Loser. You know, I don't want to be a loser. I'm reading my Bible. Figure something out. Start. If it's just one lousy verse, take one lousy verse and read it every day. I want to invest my life in a place, in a time, in a plan that matters. Anything that matters takes a little bit of pre-planning. Most of you are working on your retirement. Most of you are thinking about when you retire. I know it's getting harder and harder to do that, but you're thinking about it. Why? Because it's important. This is important, too, to be devoted to the one who made you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and he will add the other things. Ben, would you come up as we pray? Father, we pray today.